Tom Ross's Goal Zone.
50 years since you made your debut.
Well, I said to you last Saturday, Tommy, it only seems like yesterday.
I know.
You're just aware the years go, don't you? But, I mean, I've said to you many times, I enjoyed every minute of it. We had bad times. It wasn't all good. Never is. But you have to...
Do you remember that day, though, that debut? Do you remember the...
I remember it ever so well, yeah. Yeah, it's... I can remember everything about it being...
What were you like when you were told?
Well, I was told, actually, on the Friday lunchtime, we was training at the Hawthorns that Friday before the game, and Dave Matthews, actually, was the first one to...
Dave, he was just... Sadly, no longer with us.
He just parted, yeah. He came up to me and said, he said, you're playing in the first team tomorrow. And I was only 17. I said, I get lost. I thought he was just having me on, you know what I mean? Just winding me up. And then all of a sudden, the assistant manager, Wilf Dixon, a fellow called Wilf Dixon, came up and he just confirmed it. He said, Tony, he said, just go home to your digs, pack overnight case, you're playing in the first team tomorrow. Well, that was it. Nerves started up then, yeah. Even never slept a wink.
Who was in the team then?
On our team. There was Ozzy, John Osborne in goal, Graham Williams, and then there was Alec Jackson and Kenny Forgo. Clive Clark, you know.
Good lads.
Good players, yes, Tom. It was a good side.
And Ipswich were a decent side then as well,
yeah,
they
were a terrific side at that time.
People like that.
Yeah, Jimmy Ledbetter, you know, people probably won't remember the names now, because it's so long ago, but they were good players.
Ray Crawford played for Albion.
He joined the Albion, yeah. He came and there was him, Jeff Astle and John Kay, three centre-forwards, big out-and-out centre-forwards.
When you made your debut... You remember you made your debut?
Yeah.
Do you remember the number one?
I haven't got a clue.
Have a listen to this.
The Beatles. Brilliant.
Do you remember that?
I remember it well, Tom. I was a big Beatles fan, yeah.
So, and another man who remembers it well, Graham Williams joins us now. Graham, how are you doing?
All right, Tom. How are you? How's Bomber?
I'm okay, Willie. Thank you very much for asking.
How did you get in that team?
Can I just say, Tom, quickly, captain, I played with two, there was only two captains I played under in the 20 years I was there. There was him and John Wyle, and they were both absolutely brilliant.
Proper leaders.
And Graham, I mean, he looked after us, he looked after me, and he was a great inspiration,
professional. He looked after a few wingers.
You're just looking for brownie points now.
Hey, Tom, can you say, he rung me up last week, and he said, oh, I'm just ringing round all the lads just to see they're okay. He's still captain
still
now.
Captain.
He's still captain
He's
now.
Still the captain, Graham.
No, really, it's, I don't know what it is. I just want to know that they're okay.
Brilliant. What was he like that day coming into that team against Ipswich?
Well, I don't remember that so much, but the things he used to get, him and Jeff used to get up to in the dressing room would drive you bonkers. And you'd go into training. Nobody was ever late because Bomber, it was like Morecambe and Wise show before the training with him. And they're always trying to set and wind us up, and he wound me up. I don't know whether he remembers the day. I got sent off at Aston Villa for punching Tony Hatley. You know, I had to jump to punch him. But so anyhow, at the end of the season, we're going on tour, so we're training a little bit. And unknown to me, Tony Hatley had been picked for the England, an FA team, which was that's a bit strange for an Aston Villa to be picked for an England side anyhow. But anyhow, I've come in a little bit late and they're all in the dressing room and they've all got their heads down, putting their boots on. I'm thinking, well, that's funny to start with. And there's only one space. I'm in the dressing room and there's one space left. So I've gone there and all of a sudden the space is being filled and who should be coming in was Tony Hatley. And what they've done is put all his kids at the side of me.
For the Football League team.
Yeah, for the Football League team. Do you remember that?
No.
They all kept their heads down, but they were all looking to see what I was going to do. Because Tony was in the toilet at that. He should have been there all the time.
But it was, I suppose, though, Graham, for you played with Bomber quite a few years. I mean, sum him up as a player.
Oh, I tell you what, if you saw Van Persie play now, that's bomber. At his young age, when he came in, another thing he did to me, you know, I was captain, and we were getting overrun in midfield. We were getting running, and I said, hey, bomber, how about getting back to help out in midfield? And he went, F off. He says, do you want your bonus or not? And that was it. But he was like Van Persie, honestly. He was very clever. He was, this is what you get for saying how nice spoke I am, John. He was very clever. He was very clever. He could see goals. And the goal that I always remember, I didn't play in the game, I was sitting on the bench. I was at Sheffield Wednesday
FA Cup.
The greatest goal I've ever seen. I think everybody, the two benches, their bench went, oh, you know, the oil,
yeah.
Oh! And we're all standing up, can't believe it. It's come over his shoulder, he's whacked it, and the goalkeeper had the cheek to dive for the ball. It was an insult, really. It flew past him, and that was the greatest goal. But I look at Van Persie now, and I'm thinking, that's bomber in his younger days. And if anybody watches, you have a look at Van Persie, how great he is, what a good thinker, what a good player he is in the box. That's Tony Brown.
Brilliant, Graham. Thank you so much. I know you're on your way to the game. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you so much indeed.
Cheers, Graham.
Take care, Bob. Take care.
And yourself.
How's your legs?
They're okay, Graham. Love to Heather.
See you later.
I will do.
Cheers.
Too.
There's Graham Williams. What a player he was. And we're going to be talking next to right now, in fact, to a man who managed you as well. But Graham Williams mentioned Van Persie wishes he could be a bomber, Brown.
I wouldn't say that, Tommy. He's a fantastic player, Van Persie, isn't he?
Well, that's the humility of the modern game, you know, of your era. I don't think you realise how good you were with the goals, you know, you could. And in a team, to be fair as well, I mean, imagine the goals you'd have got with Manchester United or... And you could have gone there, couldn't you, at one time?
Well, there was talk about it, quite a few clubs. But you never found out in those days, Tom, what clubs were after you. Not like they do nowadays. It's open... it's very open when clubs come after you and they want you, and that didn't happen in my day. Nothing was said to the player.
I know you played for two great managers, a few great managers, but I know you had a lot of time for this man. He joins us now, Big Ron. Ron Atkinson's with us. Ron, how you doing?
Muy bien, gracias. Usted, buongiorno.
Are you in Spain?
No, I'm in Capri. I'm on the Isle of Capri.
Oh,
I tell you, he must have had some testimonial bomb him.
Oh, it's all them bonuses I put in his pocket.
Big Ron, you were once famously quoted as saying they should build a statue to him on the centre circle or something like that to bomber.
No, I said in the penalty area. Let's get it right. Okay. In the penalty area. He never spent any time in the centre circle.
How good was he, Ron?
You know what? People rave at one of the greatest midfield players playing today, Frank Lampard. Mm-hmm. He was the equivalent of Frank Lampard. As good as Frank Lampard, the equivalent of. Certainly. And don't forget, although he played in some good teams, he never played in any team. If he'd have played for Chelsea, now he'd score more than Torres and that lot. Phenomenal. A tragedy. I mean, I keep saying John Richards got two caps, he got one. They'd both walk into the England team any day now. Oh. You know, amazing. You did get one bomber, didn't you?
Yeah.
Against Wales.
Just the one against Wales.
Wales, yeah. There you go, you see. Phenomenal finisher. I've been lucky enough, Tommy, in my career to work with some terrific top-line front players. Mm. You know, like, we obviously had Cyril and people like that. Then at United, had Stapleton, Whiteside, Sparky, and people like that. David Hurst, super strikers, Dean Sanders, people like... Not one of them was as good as him at finishing.
That's a good...
He's the best finisher I've ever seen.
Oh, unbelievable comment that. And you've worked with some of the best. Was he great to have around the dressing room? Was he good to work with and to manage?
He's horrible. No. The one thing I say about Bomber, Tom, a tremendous footballer, an all-time West Bromwich Albion great, the best finisher I've ever worked with, and I'll tell you something else, a better bloke than he was player.
Oh dear, well that says something. Bummer. I mean, you worked with Big Ron. That was some team, wasn't it, Bum?
Yeah, I mean, we had a fantastic side, didn't we, Ron? You know, throughout the side.
We had some fun.
We did.
We had some fun.
Yeah, we had fun because we were winning football matches. Simple as that, wasn't it? Because we had such a great side. We fancied ourselves against anybody. We didn't fear anybody. And if we went to Old Trafford and Chelsea, anywhere, the big sides, and we didn't come away with a win, we were disappointed.
I played with Ron in for ATV All Stars, and every time he turned up, Ron was always Bonoff.
Well,
what was he like
Tom,
in the five
aside? Don't start me, Tom. One day he'd be Bonoff, the next day he'd be Souness, the next day he'd be George Best. I mean, it was unbelievable. The five asides, they never finished. They never finished till his side would got in front, and then he would blow the whistle. It was unbelievable, it was.
But it was successful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, people go on about sometimes they deride five-a-sides of training nowadays, but they were so good. They were fantastic. Everything had to be done at the pace of a game, match pace on a Saturday, you know. And if they fell below a standard, Big Ron would come down on you, and you know he'd let us know. And it was a fantastic time to play in an Albion.
Is that as good a team as you've worked with, Ron?
For over a period, I mean, I always said, don't forget, we finished one season when it was 2 points for a win. We finished with 59 points, and we just got a lot more, but that was the season of the foul-up at Christmas, when we were then playing for 6 or 7 weeks. We still finished with 59 points, which I'm told 7 of the previous 10 years would have won you the title. And we lost the last 2 games in that.
Cool. I remember the year you were flying at one stage. Yeah. Flying. Ron, have a great week, rest for the rest of the week in Capri, on the Isle of Capri. who was the famous singer who was in the Isle of Capri?
Who That's sang Sally Person.
Sally R. Alley. What's her name? Yeah. Vera Lynn. No, what was her name?
No, Gracie.
Gracie Fields.
That you don't.
You two are showing your ages.
Tom, I'm told you was a toy boy.
Big Ron, thanks so much for your tribute, top man.
Cheers,
top man.
Ron.
Thanks, Big Ron.
See you, Ron. Bye.
I mean, that's a tribute from Ron. He's worked with all them people, and
well, yeah, it's very nice, Tom. You know, but well, as I've always said to you. You know, many times. I was just doing a job.
But he's brilliant, isn't
he? Oh, he's fantastic.
You couldn't fail to not work for him, Bob,
no,
could
you? Tom, you would run through brick walls for him when he was a manager at the Albion, I'm telling you, because he created such a fantastic atmosphere in the dressing room, and a will to win, and a belief in yourselves. And that's how he was. He used to, before games, he would come in, you know, just before we were going out to play, and he'd say, right, lads, come on. Let's put on a performance today. Let's go and entertain all those people out there who pay good money. And entertain me, because I'm a supporter as well, you know, besides them. And he would punch you as you were going out the dressing room door, and you'd be, you know, go on, get out there and go and get a good win for us. He was fantastic to play for, Tom.
Absolutely. But it was some team. I remember the team ever so well. There's so much to talk about. But just one more thing, firstly. That was your debut, Ipswich. You scored as well, didn't you?
Mm.
You scored on your debut. And I know the League Cup was very special to you. I think you got the final 3 times, didn't you?
Yeah, got in the final 3
times.
You won
it once, lost it twice.
Lost in the final twice.
66, 3 years after your debut. You won it, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. That was the last year. It was a two-legged affair.
Who did you beat?
We beat West Ham in the
over
final. Who had Bobby Moore, Martin Peters,
oh,
and
all,
Jim Standen and all.
Well, of course you did.
Jeff,
that was the World Cup
Jeff
team.
Jeff Hurst, all them. And they beat us. I think it was 2-1 the first leg down at Upton Park. And then they came up to the Hawthorns. And I've said many times, I've never been in a dressing room where the lads wanted to get out on the pitch so quickly. They would bang in the dressing room door down
really?
To get out before the game, Tom, to get, you know, to get the job.
To get at West Ham.
And within 20 minutes, we were 4-0 up.
4-0?
We turned them over, we destroyed them.
Cool. And, how many did you get?
One.
Only one?
We had a bad night that night. No, it was, I mean, that was a great side as well.
Winning it, you'd have celebrated afterwards. You'd have celebrated and you'd have heard this, no doubt, this song, no doubt.
Made for walking, and that's just what they do.
He's Bomber Brown. We're looking back at his career. More to come from the Bomber and more friends of the Bomber joining us as well. This is Free Radio 80s. We're back after this.
Tom Ross's Goal Zone.
Bomber is, of course, our regular Albion pundit. For every single Albion game, he's in the press box with myself. So that's always when Albion are playing, Bombers will be there as well. It's interesting as well. Not many people know this, but you are, I think, I'm pretty certain, the only player in the game to score against father and son goalkeepers.
Yeah, apparently that's a quiz question that crops up now and again. Yeah, I was fortunate, as you said, on my debut in 1963 against Ipswich, I scored against Roy Bailey.
Absolutely.
And then in 79... In 79, that famous 5-3 victory we had over Man United, which Albion fans will never forget, they always remember that. His son, Gary Bailey, played in goal, so I scored in the top flight against against father and son.
You haven't received Christmas cards from him, have
you? No, not yet. Plenty of time.
In that, interesting, that 5-3, which is the one everybody talks about at Albion.
Yes.
You got a couple that day, did you?
I scored two, yeah. Yeah.
Tell us the story about getting the equaliser.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Big Ron's just been on there. Mm. It's a story that just right on the stroke of half-time, I scored to make it 3-3. And they never had time to spot the referee's whistle. We went in the dressing room and Big Ron come in and he said, "Right, lad, sit down." He said, "I'll tell you what, if you keep playing like that, you're playing brilliant. If you keep playing like that," he said, "you'll get an equaliser." And all the lads looked at him and thought, "What's he on about?" And Ali Robb just turned, he said, "Bomber's just scored, it's 3-3. He said, "It never is it? He said, "Yeah." Ali said, "Yeah, it's 3-3. He said, "Bloody," he said, "I've just come down from my seat in the stand." He said, "I thought I heard a bit of a cheer." He said, "But I didn't know we'd scored. He said, "Oh, that's brilliant." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, keep playing the way you're playing." He said, "You'll get the winner."
And you
he didn't know he'd scored, and that's right. And we went on, got another 5-3, Tom. It was a great result.
The highlight, though, would have been, I suppose, for most Albion fans, the FA Cup.
No, without a doubt, yeah. I've said to you many times, you know, it's my ambition as a schoolboy. I think every schoolboy's wish at that time was to play football and play in an FA Cup winner, get a Cup winner's medal. And I was fortunate enough to achieve that.
What was it like getting up them steps, though, in...
It was unbelievable, Tommy. You know, it's something you dreamt of, and you've seen it on the television year after year after year. You've seen other people go up there and receive the medals. And then it's actually you going up.
It's not surreal, really.
That's right, you watch it every year, don't you? We all watched it and going... And holding the cup, and all of a sudden, you're up there, you're on the steps, and you're thinking, you know, what am I doing here? But that was the highlight of my career, Tom, winning the FA Cup.
It was a great run. You had your luck along the way, I think, in the early rounds. I remember you telling me. Bobby Oak played with you, didn't he? He's not very well, and I spoke to him today, and he says, "Look, you can hear his voice is going and all sorts." And he says, "Look, just make sure you tell everybody the amount of respect he has for you." I know he's a good pal of yours, amount of respect... and I think, do you realise the respect that... I mean, you mentioned the goal earlier, or they mentioned the goal earlier about Sheffield Wednesday. Bobby Charlton's favourite all-time goal.
Yeah.
And he scored a few, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he reminds me every time,
it was his favourite goal of all time, he said, that one you scored at Sheffield Wednesday. Amazingly, Sky show all these greatest goals ever and never mention it. Obviously, it didn't happen since 90, no. Before 93, didn't it? Before Sky got a grip. But even people like that, I remember going down to Spurs with you and Harry Redknapp come running up to you. You know, couldn't wait to speak to you because he was your roommate for the under-23s.
That's right, yeah. And the England youth it was.
England youth.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it was, though, Tommy. And, you know, even the opposition, you played against the opposition week in, week out. They kicked lumps out of you and you had fights and scraps and all that. But after the games were finished, the camaraderie was there between, you know, even against the opposition, and you went and had a drink together, you know, in the players' room, and you had a chat, and that sticks for years.
It's funny,
to come, you know what I mean? You're still friends.
You mentioned the 5-3. Another man who played with you is Brendan Batten. Brendan, how are you?
I'm very well, Tom, and hi, Bomber, how are you doing, mate?
Hi, Bren, I'm okay, thanks. Are you?
Listen, I'm fine, thanks. I just want to clarify something, because I think Tom got his research and his dates wrong. Is it 75 years when you made your debut? 75 years ago, have I got that right? Yeah, I think so.
I knew something like that was coming from you. I knew it. I was prepared. Oh, dear me.
What was it like, Brendan?
Listen, it seemed I was that old when I was playing in front of you.
No, listen, Tom. I think we wanted a likes of Bomber again. I mean, not with a combination, unique combination of appearances, goals, and the years of service he gave to West Brom. Mm. But I think the other thing is, I think for those who were fortunate enough to see him play, and for those of us who played with him, what a privilege. What a real privilege. Mm. You know, great pro and a terrific guy. Is he blushing, by the way?
Yeah, he is a bit.
Is he blushing?
He is a bit. Oh,
okay.
Big Ron said, listen, everybody raves about Van Persie. He said, Van Persie is Bomber Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I joined West Brom, the first thing that Ron said to me, I remember, was saying, apart from with Laurie and Shaw, but he just said, it'd be great, you'd be playing with Tony Brown. What a great guy and a fantastic pro. And as I say, I think it was a real privilege that I got to play with him, you know, in the latter years of his career. But that one season we had, you know, he scored 25 goals, I think.
28.
Ellie
Brown, 28,
and, 28,
28, 28, get it right. See, 28, right, okay. Call me a liar for 3 goals, yeah, right, okay. But him and Ellie Brown were fantastic, and he was Midlands Player of the Year, and that was in his twilight years. But, you know, and the good thing is, that's one of the good things about the Former Players Association, we all get to meet up, players from different eras, and you all get along, and it's great, as Bomber said, you know, to my big Jeff, you know, it's really nice that we can meet up in a real social environment, and, you know, we like to reminisce, you know, all footballers love to reminisce, and Bomber's always at the heart of it, so it's a, you know, he's a great guy.
He is a great guy, and he's a nice, everybody talks to him. What was he like on the pitch, though? Because he has this overwhelming desire to score goals. Could he be nasty on the pitch?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, one, he could sulk for Great Britain. That's the other thing. I remember a game down at Leeds. Lenny Cantello was playing, was having a fantastic game. I mean, Lenny dominated the game. But I think Bomber strike from about 25 yards. But I think a couple of minutes before that, he gave a bad pass to Lenny, and Lenny gave him the biggest rollicking. Anyway, 2 minutes later, he strikes something from nothing, hardly any back lift, which is his trademark. And we all had to congratulate him, and he was shoving everybody else. He was so cheesed off that Lenny had given him a rollick. And he was sulky. You can see him on the television.
I remember the game. Away. I've talked to you about this. Yeah. I've talked to Bomber about this in that game. I saw on TV recently on the big match. And I said, you don't celebrate your goals. You were looking miserable. Was that was the game then?
Because Lenny had just given me a rollick.
Correct.
And I was still in
I mean, the other thing is, you know, he's not renowned for his tackling, but I think he did put in a shift. He did work hard, and we used to say to him, look, just be a nuisance, Bomber, run back. And I think one of the great tributes to him is that whilst he was on the field, you know, he did put in 100%. And that was an easy thing to say, and he played in a very difficult position, and the hardest thing to do is score goals. I mean, that's what we train for, and it's a really difficult job. That's why I was a job in fullback, and I couldn't score for my life, but... You know, he did put in, on the defensive side, he put in a shift. And you know, that, and he's always been a team player. And I think that's shone through in all the games he played for West Brom, which was like, I don't know, was it 2,500 games he played? I can't remember now. I know it was a few.
What was it? When was the Leeds game, that infamous Leeds game that stopped him winning
the title? That was 78-79 season. I think it was before Christmas.
Did you play in that, Bren?
No, you're on... I think Tom's on about...
I'm on about the one that denied them the league title when the whole balloon went up when there was an offside, questionable offside. Did you score, Bum?
Yes.
And was it Foggo was offside?
No, it was Colin Suggett.
Suggett was offside.
And the Leeds lads were...
Because they'd have won the league, wouldn't they?
That's right, yeah. And there was ructions.
Before my time.
It was before your time, Bren, you're right. But the police were on, had to run, the fans run on, the police were on, and, you know, John Kay was protecting the referee, and it was the first kind of...
So you were causing mayhem then?
I caused that, yeah, everybody says I caused that, because I was the one that received the ball and went...
We went up to, I've got to tell you, Bren, we went up to Leeds a couple of years ago, and... the lad was there, Eddie Gray, who's a great player, Eddie Gray, and he was saying...
Yes,
he said, you know what, Bomb, he said... who it probably was onside, you know, just get on with it. 40 years ago. Well, I went down to the toilet, and I'm talking to Paul Reaney, and I said, Eddie Gray's just said, probably was onside, that goal. Bomber's up with him. He went, he what? 40 years later, he ran up them stairs and came in, causing mayhem with you, didn't he? Yeah. 40 years afterwards, he never forgot it. Didn't he, Paul Reaney?
No, you don't forget. You don't forget.
Yeah. It was brilliant. Yeah. Brendan, as always, great to talk to you, my friend. Thanks very much.
I'll see you soon, mate. Okay.
Yeah. Cheers, Bren.
Cheers.
See you, mate.
Thank you very much indeed. He was a good player, Brendan, as well, wasn't he?
Terrific. I always say, Tom, that pound for pound, he was the best signing Albion's ever made. £35,000.
That's all he cost.
Pound for pound, and he was absolutely class fullback. Tommy, get forward, overlap, defend. The only thing he couldn't do, and he couldn't score goals.
1971, you made your England debut. How proud a moment was that?
That was another great moment for me, Tom, because I'd been in a lot of England squads, a lot of them, and get-togethers with Alf Ramsey, and just to get into the squad at that time was a great achievement, Tom. It was like playing a game because of the players they had. Mm. You know, your Bobby Moores, your Franny Lees, your Martin Peters. To get in the squad was a great achievement. And I was in quite a few, and then eventually Alf Ramsey gave me my cap against Wales.
Everybody I meet says you should have had more than one cap.
Yeah, they say that, but as I say, it didn't go especially well for me, Tom. I must say that, and I'm not making excuses, but you know, I was asked to play in a position that night that I didn't actually play for my club. You know, I was asked to play an out-and-out striker, which wasn't my game.
No, you were the deep-lying attacking midfielder.
I had to see grass in front of me,
yeah,
so I could see the holes coming, appearing, and I would go in them and try and, you know, nick goals and that. And I wasn't a player that could play with me back to goal. But I had to, you know, I tried my best, but unfortunately I never got a call-up again.
In 1978, you broke the scoring record, scoring your 209th goal.
Yeah, beat Ronnie Allen's record.
And do you know where that was? That was at Leeds.
That was Leeds. I think that might be. I'm not much sure whether that's the one Brendan's on about. But it was at Leeds, yeah. I'd equaled it the previous week away at Chelsea. And I say the following week we went to Leeds, beat them, and I scored again, broke the record. And like I said earlier, you know, went away to Chelsea, beat them, went away to Leeds. We went everywhere. If we didn't go away from home and get a win, Tom, we were so disappointed. That was how good that side was.
And that was a good Leeds side. I broke 209 goals, folks, and if you'd have been having a party that night, you'd have been listening to this. Greece, absolutely brilliant. Summer nights,
yeah, I remember it well.
You won the Midlands Player of the Year 3 times.
Yeah, apparently that's not been done before. And that was nice to, you know, to be voted locally 3 times Player of the Year.
Hell of an honour.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. That's you know, that's.
I mean, I won't go on about the records.
By the public.
I won't go on about the records, but I think you hold just about every record at Albion. Appearances, goals, hat-tricks, penalties, European goals, FA Cup goals, FA Cup hat-tricks, everything. You hold the records. Did you ever score four in a game?
Yes, once, Tom. Notts Forest away from home. At Notts Forest, we won 4-1, and I was fortunate enough to score all 4 goals that Saturday, which...
You eventually went... When you finished playing, you tried a few things, but then came back into the game at Birmingham, didn't you?
I had a couple of... My last couple of years, when I was coming to the end, when my legs were going. You know when your legs are going, Tommy. You try and get on the end of things, which you'd normally just been easy before, and all of a sudden you don't need people to tell you, do you? You know yourself. Mm. You try to kid yourself that it's not happening, but you know in your own head that it is. You've lost that little bit of pace that you had before, and that was it. It happened to me, and I'd gone to America for a couple of seasons while I was still under contract at the Albion, a couple of summers, and that was a great time. And as you say, then I
Who's he playing for, the team?
Well, I played for Boston T-Men first time, and then the following year they changed the name to the Jacksonville team, and they moved the franchise, the club, all the way down to Florida.
You were playing against the best and everybody there, weren't
you? Oh, I mean, that first year I went, Tom, it was unbelievable. The Will Stars that were playing there, because they were trying to...
Didn't Cruyff
play? They were trying to push it. Cruyff, there was Pelé, Rensenbrick.
Best?
The
top players.
Yeah, I've forgot the names now. There's not many, Tom, but they were all, as you say...
Beckenbauer played, didn't he?
Beckenbauer. Brilliant. Carlos Alberto, remember the Brazilian captain?
The fullback.
Oh, what a player. Yeah.
He could hit that banana.
Eusebio had played for the T-Men that I played for the season before. I just wish I'd have been there that season just to say I could have played with... Because what a great player he was.
There was plenty of them. We've got another guest coming up next here on Free Radio 80s. And when it comes to records, you heard Big Ron. Big Ron says, Robin Van Persie... He's Bomber Brown. And that is some accolade from Big Ron, who knows the game inside out. We'll be talking to another friend of Bombers and somebody he worked with next here on Free Radio 80s.
Tom Ross's Goal Zone.
Gary, how you doing?
Hello, Thomas.
Bomber says you were always late when he played with you.
That'd be the day.
But you went over to Albion and to play for Big Ron, and you formed a lasting friendship with Bomber.
A great friendship with Bomber. Bomber and all his family, you know, Adam and Paul and Irene. Fantastic people. Fantastic people, and what a great guy.
That's shining through. Everybody says about his... I mean, Big Ron's likened him to Van Persie. He said, if you look at Van Persie, he's Bomber Brown. I mean, that's a great tribute to the footballing side, but most people... Talk about what a great guy he is as well.
He is, Tom. Listen, irrespective of whether you want a great player playing for you, you always want a great friend alongside you can trust, and that's Bomber, without a doubt. I don't know whether he's been telling you any of his stories or people have been talking about stories, because he's got a great sense of humour, you know, Tom.
Yes.
I know you know that, but just remind you about the time when he was substitute at West Ham. And when he was, he knows he's laughing now. And he come on and he run up to Big Cyril and he went to Cyril. He said, "Which way are we kicking?" And Cyril pointed one way.
And do you know what?
Pointed
Bob,
one Bob, and he realised that I'm having him on. And he went, "I can't swear
Gary,
on there."
You know, the reason I'm laughing is he did that to me when we were playing with the All Stars, the Albion All Stars, and you were there, and he did it to me in the second half. He did it exactly the same to me.
Big Sid will never forgiven me for that. He always reminds me.
There's a bit. Tom, to be fair, there's a bit of difference between you and Big Cyril.
What are you trying to say? But seriously, it has got a wicked sense of humour.
There's no doubt about that. Have you seen his clothes since?
Bobby, you're getting plenty. We were at Charlton for doing a game, and I'm sitting there, and all the fans are right behind you. And this lunatic leans over and starts swearing down our microphones, "You cockney, you brummy, what's it, you brummy this, you brummy..." So in the end, I've had enough, and I take the headphones off in the mid-programme. I just slam them down, I turn round, I went, "Now," and I look at him, he's 7 foot, bald, earrings, a thug. And I've gone, I thought, in for a penny, in for a pound. I said, "There's a kid's listening to us, you should be ashamed of yourself." And you hear a voice to my right go, "You're on your own." Bobber. It's Bobber.
I think I've heard that voice before, Tom. I think it was at West Brom once when the pair of us, I don't think, were doing too well, and somebody shouted, "Brown, get off and take Bendry with you as well."
How good was he, Gary?
Oh, listen, you can't describe it. I've heard John about all these records he's got, Tom. Bomber, not only a proper person, but a real proper player. He'll be well renowned throughout the game, and I always talk to people about the goal he scored over his shoulder. I think it was at Sheffield Wednesday morning.
Everybody talks. Bobby Charlton's favourite goal.
Dear me, sensational.
But if that was on now, if he scored that now, everybody would be they'd be showing it on Sky every day, all day.
Yeah. Great player, great goal scorer.
Absolutely.
And when he came to me, and we didn't have the best of times working at Birmingham City, but he was great to work alongside. He had a great work ethic. And I know the young kids at the time that had a chance to work with him, the Paul Tates and Sturridges, Yates, Larks and all this, they had a great respect for Bomber. Great respect and love working with him.
Gary, sorry to keep you waiting so long, mate. Thanks for that. It's brilliant. Thanks, Gary. Top man.
No problem. Look after yourself.
Cheers, Gary.
Top man, Gary Pendry. And just one last guest to come on, but... I mean, great. It's great, you know, when you meet so many great people in the game, isn't it? And the banter in the game, people forget that. I think the fans, the amount of banter that you have.
Football people, there's something different about them, Tom. You know, they.
I remember going to Brendan's 40th birthday party, and you and Gary and Brendan all said, "Listen, do us a favour, go and ask Big Ron if David Mills really was the worst player he ever bought." Do you remember? And he went mental.
I know, because we know how we react when you mention it.
He went absolutely loony and he came racing across. Joining us now, and I'm delighted to welcome him, it's your son Paul. Paul, how you doing?
Oh, blimey.
I'm good, Tom, are you?
I'm not bad.
All right, Dad?
All right, Paul, yeah.
You've been outing tonight, son, Villa fan.
Up the Villa.
I'll kill you when you get home.
Yes, it doesn't just to wind me up. Obviously, everybody knows about him as a player. And what was he like as a dad?
Oh, he's special, Tom. You know, not because of his football qualities. It's just the way he's brought me and my brother up. You know, me, my mum and my dad just brought us up brilliantly, and that's what's so special about him. Really, not his football. You know, football qualities and football record, just the way he's brought us up as people. That's the best thing I can say.
Was it difficult to, you know, when your dad was a famous footballer, was it difficult?
Not really, no, Tom, you know, because it was good banter at school. You know, people used to come up, Albion fans, and say, you know, just chat about him and things like that. So, no, it wasn't a big thing at all. It was just, you know, what you got used to.
Well, I have to say, most lads have the dad's football genes. What happened to you?
I don't know, Tom, but they're clearly passed me by.
I passed my golf genes on to him.
He used to watch me on a Sunday, and I could see him shaking his head, and you know, I thought this is not the game for me. Tom Ross's Goal
Zone. Well, it was a brilliant day. I came not really knowing what to expect, and sat there enthralled, and was desperate for it to continue. And I have to criticise you, Tom, by saying you stopped too soon. You needed to ask some more questions of these people that were up there. I sat with my mouth open. It was just fantastic. So pleased for Bomber. Nobody deserves it more than he does. I hope he enjoyed the day. I'm sure he did, although it was probably a bit of a blur from him in some cases. But what a great day.
And as I say, in the modern game, I think they all made it clear that in the modern game, you know, his record stands up against any Premier League player. But, of course, we did have a game before the Premier League started.
There was, yeah. And I played in that, yeah. So I'm all for backing that up. What do you want... A midfield player to do now? You want him to score goals, make goals and stop goals. Well, I think he did all of those things and he would still be doing those things today. You know, anybody that thinks the great players of the past couldn't be great players today is wrong, because what they would have had is the advantage that everybody's got now of all the modern methods, the modern diets, and you know, all the support that players get. In the past, you know, players were turning up on the bus to go and play in games. They were getting the bus home with fans and so on as well. Nowadays, everything that can be done is done for the players, and so the top players of those days would be top players of today without any question.
Well, he's been a good husband, good football fanatic, passionate about the game, good father to the children, and we've had a happy marriage, and he's just brilliant.
He loves West Brom, though, doesn't he?
He does. I realise I come second.
You know, it's every time, it's football crackers, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
And yet, you've worked that out between you. It's brilliant.
Yeah, well, with good compromise, because I come from a West Bromwich family. My dad supported, my granddad did. So I came when I was a little girl. I used to go and stay with my nan and granddad. And my dad would go to the match, and then he'd have to come back and tell my granddad shot by shot. And I'd be looking at the two of them thinking, what is this all about? Obviously, I've found out now where the passion comes from.
How proud of you?
Very proud, yeah. And the two sons are as well.
both here today, Adam and Paul.
Yeah.
To get Adam out to anything, football's good, isn't it?
Exactly. I think he gets nervous for his dad if he's got to do a speech, but he said he's proud of him, so he must have done okay.
What do you think? How do you think Bomber did on the stage?
Brilliant. But then you both work so well together. You make everyone relax, so it's very good.
Tom Ross's Goal Zone with Bodyguard Workwear. Go and see their showroom in Birmingham at 20,000 square feet. It's almost as big as a football pitch.